Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for this, the RTC Weekly Download. Today's Adventure Week, and we have I Love Adventure. This is a program created by Carlton E. Morris, the same gentleman who made One Man's Family, and this program was well thought of, too. I Love Adventure, and it's the Ambassador Ricardo Santos affair from 1948.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 13, the Ambassador Ricardo Santos affair, a new Carlton E. Morris production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie. It was 6 o'clock on a hot evening of a sweltering July in the A1 Detective Agency office, just around the corner off Hollywood Boulevard. Doc Long and Jack Packard were lounging in their shirt sleeves, and Mary Kay Jones, the cutest secretary in blouse and skirt, was trying to keep her makeup on straight before the mirror over by the water cooler.
Don't you know where Reggie's at, Jack?
I'm sorry, old boy.
Well, don't nobody know where Reggie's at? Mary Kay, don't you know?
Don't I know what?
Where Reggie's at? Hey, are you a secretary or just a makeup artist?
Well, a girl's got to look her best, hasn't she?
Mary Kay, if you looked any better, mere male man couldn't stand.
Hey, that's my line, Jack.
Oh?
Sure it is. Who named Mary Kay the cutest secretary in Hollywood? I did. Who makes like a wolf when Mary Kay's in the neighborhood? I do.
Amen, brother.
So you lay off Mary Kay, son. Let a Texas boy that knows how to take care of the beautiful secretaries around this detective office. You just take care of playing like Sherlock Holmes.
Listen to the man flex his cerebral muscles.
I beg your pardon.
Hey, a customer.
Well, won't you come in and have a chair?
This is the A1 Detective Agency.
This is her. Here, sit down. What can we do for you?
This young woman, who is she?
Oh, that's Mary Kay Jones, our secretary. Don't pay no attention to her.
Well, I like that.
Which of you is Senor Parker?
I am. This is my partner, Doc Long.
Oh, yes, yes. I am Juan Carlos, a representative of a certain Central American country, which shall go unnamed.
Well, speak right up, Senor Carlos. You among friends. What can we do for you?
You will leave for Istanbul, Turkey tonight.
Hey. Where
did you say?
Isn't Istanbul, Turkey quite a long way from home?
Here are $5,100 bills to make it worth someone's while.
I'll take that.
Please, Senorita.
Mary Kay, give the man back his $5,000.
Yeah, honey, shame on you for grabbing like that.
I'm not only secretary, I'm treasurer of this agency. All you boys get is expense money until I get caught up on my back paycheck.
But we haven't even accepted the assignment yet.
Oh, yes, you have. They'll go to Istanbul, Senor Carlos. Just tell them the setup.
Well, how you like them apples? What's the pitch, anyhow, Phil?
This is how it is. Senor Ricardo Santos, my country's ambassador to Turkey, is coming home. You have been selected to escort him from his post in Istanbul, Turkey, to his homeland, together with his wife and daughter. He is returning home because it is quite possible that he will be the next president of his country, and the election is near. It is important that he be closely guarded, because there are many who are opposed to him, and it is quite possible that the assassination is in order.
You mean somewhere along the route between Istanbul and Central America, some of his own people try to rub him off?
It is quite certain an attempt will be made, Senor Packard.
Oh, so that's what you got on the floor. Get the ambassador and the ambassador's wife and the ambassador's daughter safe across to home base. Hey, by the way, I hope the ambassador's daughter is young and good-looking and unmarried.
I can assure you she is all those things.
Well, hot sock, what's holding us back?
Air transportation has been arranged for you to Istanbul. Now, at the Turkish capital, my country has arranged for a two-motor plane to be put in your hands for your return flight across French West Africa to Freetown. It is my understanding that both of you are expert pilots of large aircraft.
Oh, you looking at the two hottest flowers this side of paradise.
Just a minute. A flight across French Africa will require several refueling stops.
They have been arranged. Once you have reached Freetown, you will take passage on the first transatlantic plane schedule.
All right. Well, that's good enough for us. We leave the office to you, Mary Kay.
Yeah, man. Istanbul, Turkey. Next up. All right, Senior Sanders, there goes the last of your boxes and baggage. All that stuff will go by cargo boat.
It is a relief, this packing and unpacking and shifting from place to place. I do not like
it. Yeah, I sure do know what you mean.
Just now, I am more interested in getting myself, my wife, and my daughter safely back within our own bargain.
Well, that's our job, son. Hey, Mr. Sanders, you taking medicine?
Quinine capsules. They are required for my health.
Oh, quinine, huh? Well, Mr. Ambassador, we leave this here suite at the hotel in about 10 minutes. Then, hey, what become of Jack? I thought he was here with us just a minute ago.
I think my wife took him by the arm and led him into another part of the suite.
Oh, she did she?
Say, my wife has a way with a gentleman. It is one of her little Spanish tricks.
Oh, hey, now, Mr. Ambassador, all women of all nations got a way with men. It's human nature.
Beware the tricks of a Spanish girl. They're more subtle than all others. I, personally, am of Portuguese descent.
Oh, yeah, so I've been told.
Portuguese without adulteration. Likewise, my daughter Lola. She, too, is Portuguese, without taint or blemish. My first wife, who was Lola's mother, was a fine Portuguese family.
Well, I don't get it. Is that so important?
To me, to my daughter, it is everything.
Well, that kind of leaves Ms. Sanders out in the cold, don't it?
That one is never out in the cold. The Spanish women have ways of warming themselves beyond an American's knowledge.
Does this hotel furnish an orchestra every day like this, Senora Santa?
No, this is a special. They're playing outside the window of our suite today because we are going away. We have been guests here for nearly 2 years.
Oh, I see. Well, all the luggage and boxes have gone to the wharf. I'd like to leave with you and your husband and daughter for the airport as soon as you're ready.
Lola is not my daughter.
Well, I suppose...
Do I look to be a woman old enough to have a 19-year-old daughter?
Oh, by no means.
No. In fact, I'm barely 1 year older than Lola. Ricardo married me out of the arms of my mother when I was only 15.
Yes, I understand early marriages are the accepted thing in most South and Central American
but
countries.
But that is not the point.
Oh?
No, it is... It is that I'm barely 20 years old. Ricardo is old enough to be my father. See, to be truthful, he's more to me a father than a husband.
Oh, good. Now, can you be ready to leave and...
You are not interested?
Oh, but I am. I'm interested in every little thing about all the Santos family. It's my job to get you all back home safely.
No, is that interest?
My job and your husband's life may depend on Doc and me. I should be interested.
You do not think I'm beautiful?
Oh, positively.
See. And you are strong, virile man.
Well, now, see, here, I came here to rescue you from possible assassins, not from ennui and boredom.
Boredom? What worse assassin is there for a young and beautiful woman?
Well, senora...
Senora. That awful conventional word, senora. Please, do not keep reminding me I'm a married woman. My name is Carmen.
Ah, yes, Carmen.
Which means red. Also fiery. Also blazing.
Ah, so. I am interrupting something.
Oh, no, not at all. Come in.
Senor Parker, this is my husband's daughter, Lola.
Yes, I've met Lola.
Sing. Please, mamacita. Father wishes you to make ready to depart.
How dare you call me mamacita? I'm not your mother.
I am obedient daughter.
Since when? Never once since I married with your father have you been obedient.
Now, with good-looking man present, you say mamacita.
You try to make me old woman.
Look, you two, we've got to get to the airfield if we're going to take off.
I'm not old woman.
Oh, I can see that, but your family...
Father will be angry if you do not hurry. Ah,
conspiracy, always conspiracy between you and your father.
You must not take that Spanish woman seriously, Senor Packard.
What goes on here?
My father and I, we are Portuguese. Carmen, she is only Spanish woman.
Yeah, a very pretty Spanish woman.
Oh, in a Spanish way, I suppose so. But not so pretty as young Portuguese girl, no?
Hey, what kind of a household is this, anyway? Doc and I come here to save your father's skin and get you safely home, and what do we find?
Me, senor. You find me. Is that not pleasant?
Well, I find a couple of women knifing each other. Are you all dressed and ready to go down to the car?
Si. Even to my perfume. If you come close, you will smell how beautiful...
Hey, Jackie. Whoa, look at what I find going on in here.
Good work, Doc. You're right on cue. We ready?
Well, I got Mom and Papa under control if you can handle daughter, which I see that you can.
Another crude American. Please, let's get started for the airport.
Yeah, come on, crude American. Gather up an armful of bags.
Yeah, you bet you. Now I know what makes Istanbul so hot. It's women. Here we are on our way, son. Across the Mediterranean, halfway across Liberia.
Farther than that, we'll be over Tama in another 3 or 4 minutes.
Tama? I never heard of it.
It's our first refueling point on the Liberia-French equatorial African border.
Hey, we are making fast time.
I'll take over the controls while you go back into the cabin and see that Ambassador Santos and his two passionate females strap themselves into their seats for the landing.
Oh, leave it to me.
Ah, it's about time we were seeing someone from up front. How are we progressing, Senor Long?
We just about to come down at Tama on the border for refueling.
We will have time to leave the ship and exercise ourselves a little.
That's right, Lola. Now, will you all please strap yourselves into your seats?
It will be a relief. I like to fly, but I also like it better on the ground.
Senor Santos, your seat belt, please, ma'am. Lola, fasten your belt too, honey. We're going to land for refueling.
Hey, what kind of a place is this Tama?
Oh, it ain't going to be much. I can promise you that. Uh-oh. Jack's begun to take us down. I got to go on up front. Keep your straps on till the plane stops. See you all in a jiffy. Hey, Jack, you sure that's our destination?
This is it. Miserable place. We'll be down and back up again in no time.
Carmen?
You're not supposed to be up here.
Senor Doc Long is sleeping out in the cabin. You are up here at the control saloon.
Yeah, he's got to get some sleep so he can relieve me. We're flying all night.
Please. Then may I not sit down beside you?
Sit down.
Gracias.
Why aren't you asleep?
Ricardo is asleep. Lola is asleep. Senor Long is asleep. Me? I cannot sleep.
You say the ambassador is sleeping?
Si. He took two of his medicine capsules. Dropped right off. Where are we now?
That last stop we made was at Sokoto, Nigeria.
Oh? That place we stopped this morning. Tama?
Yeah. Tama, Liberia.
See. Never been in so terrible a place. Sand that blister your skin, heat that suffocate you with every breath, sun flies to swarm over you.
Well, we got out of there in a hurry.
Do we stop again before we reach the coast?
Yeah, Timbuktu, French West Africa.
Oh, we're over French West Africa now, huh?
That's right. Jungle country.
Jungle. That is better than the desert.
Not to land in.
We're not landing, are we?
Well, if you can give me a written guarantee that...
What was that?
Go back and wake up Doc.
But what does it mean?
I don't know, maybe nothing.
Hey, Jack! Yeah. Jack and them engines get the hiccups.
For a minute,
holy cow, where we at?
Jungle. Take Mrs. Santos back to the cabin. Get her tied in her seat and wake up the others.
You bet you.
Better make it fast.
Dios mio. Senor, are we going to die?
Get this seat buckle fastened while I wake up others.
What is it? What is the matter?
The engines are stopping. We're going to fall.
Santos, hey, Santos, wake up.
Huh?
Here, fasten your safety belt. We got engine trouble. Fasten yourself in. You too, Lola.
See, where are we?
Jungle. Hundreds of miles of jungles. I got to get back up front.
goes, Doc.
Jack, you got yourself trapped in?
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Hey, that's a pretty good-sized moon. Will it help any?
I won't have much control by the time we get low.
Hey, enough. Look, Jack, right ahead there. Ain't that the moon shining on a river?
Hello, maybe we got something. If I can make it...
You darn well better make it, or we're going to smack the good earth with a splatter.
Protect yourself as much as you can. Here we go.
Yeah, so miracles do happen.
Yeah. You all in one piece, son?
Alive and kicking.
Doggone, the way you just skimmed the top of the water to slow us down and then brought us up on the sandbank, I was just as pretty as a picture. Could you see anything?
Never mind that. Come on back and see how our passengers are doing.
Probably suffering from shock.
Well, it's all right. You can open your eyes, Ambassador.
We are safely down?
Safe as you're ever going to be. We come down the river and rode up onto the bank.
I was so afraid.
Not I.
Lola, what are you saying?
Not I. I say to myself, if this is good enough for Senor Packard and Senor Doc Long, then it is good enough for me.
Come right along with us through fire and brimstone, huh? That's a nice thought.
But where are we?
We'll have to wait until morning. We're on a river in the jungles. Come morning, we'll know how desperate it really is. That's that.
A doggone deliberate attempt at murder.
No doubt of it. Too much water in the gasoline to make it an accident.
Yeah, somebody knowed we was going to refuel at Sokoto, Nigeria, and just deliberately gummed up the gasoline.
No doubt of it.
They was willing to kill his wife and his daughter as well as me and you just to get Ambassador Santos.
That's how it looks.
Well, whoever it was must have watered the gasoline before we got there. I stood by the ship every doggone minute while we was on the ground.
I know. Where are the two women?
Oh, they went down behind some bushes on the riverbank to wash up a little bit.
Did you warn them about the water?
Yeah. Oh, here comes the ambassador and his everlasting quinine capsule. He also has been combing last night's snarls out of his whiskers.
Well, it's a good morning for it.
Yeah. Gonna be a hot day, though.
Good morning, senores.
Morning, Ambassador.
You find the trouble with the engine, guess?
We found it.
Oh?
Somebody gave us adulterated gasoline. Naturally, the engine's conked out.
Well, do not hold yourself responsible. You saved my life when you bring the plane down safe. I am full of gratitude.
Well, thanks. Doc and I have had the maps out. There should be a narrow gauge railroad about 50 miles to the north of here.
50 miles on foot? Is that possible in this jungle?
It also says not to get mixed up with no natives because that is bad medicine.
That makes our situation difficult, no, senores?
Yeah, to put it mildly.
Hey! Hey, listen at that. That's a lion. Hey, Jack! Jack, they must have been attacked.
Hold it, Doc. Put the rifle down. It's all right.
But, senor...
They're just scared by the lion roar. Those lions are a quarter of a mile away.
All right.
Hold it a minute.
Yeah, sure. Catch your breath.
You're laughing at us.
Those lions are a quarter of a mile away.
Nevertheless, I do not like being loose in a jungle with lions.
You're going to like it a lot less after you've walked 50 miles.
50 miles? In these shoes?
Haven't you two women got walking shoes in the plane?
Here I have. I have golf shoes.
I'll go put them on.
Well, but Senor Packard, why we do not ask the help of the natives?
What natives?
Who are playing the drum.
Drum?
See, down by the river. It is easier to hear, don't
listen.
Doggone.
That's our cue to get out of this neck of the woods. Doc, you get the supplies. I'll get the camping essentials. The rest of you get into your easiest walking clothes. We're going places.
Senor Packard, are you certain you can get us out of this jungle?
Yeah, well, save your breath. We'll make it.
But 3 days, senor. 3 whole days we fight through the jungle. And 2 nights we sleep on the ground.
Yeah. Cheer up, Lola. We're 20 miles closer to the railroad.
I wonder.
Well, of course we are. 20 miles on our way and 30 miles to go.
Hey, hold it a minute.
What is it?
What now, Jack?
Some kind of a path. Don't see any signs of human footprints.
Oh, but plenty of animal track.
Looks safe enough.
It will be better than beating our way through the jungle.
All right, we'll follow it for a way.
As long as it goes in our direction.
Listen, senor. Those awful drums again.
Senor Packard, those drums are following us through the jungle.
You get that impression, but I doubt it.
But day after day, they're behind us. We will all be killed. We will all die.
Mrs. Sanders, stop that.
I'm sorry. Those drums, they frightened me.
Perhaps they do not frighten Lola also.
Oh, see, I know you and your daughter. You are Portuguese, I am Spanish. You are brave, I'm not so
all
brave.
All right, that's enough of that.
Will I tell you, Senor Ambassador Santos, I'm sorry for the day I married with you. I was sorry that day, and I've been sorry every minute of every day since that first
Carmen,
day.
Carmen, please. Did you hear what I said? Come on now. We've got at least 2 miles more before we make camp tonight.
I wouldn't be surprised if this trail led to some watering place.
Probably. Matter of fact, I thought I caught the gleam of sun on water through the jungle back a little.
You mean we must wade the river?
Hey, walk up here beside me a minute, Lola.
See?
Hey, what is that up ahead, a conspiracy?
Never mind. Hey, Lola, has your mother...
Carmen is not my mother.
All right, your stepmother, then. Has Carmen always acted this way towards your father?
Not at first. This lasts maybe 18 months. Sing.
You have any idea of why?
No. Sometimes I do not blame her, maybe. My father, he keeps rubbing her nose in fact that we are Portuguese and she's only Spanish.
Hey, Jack. Jack, look ahead there. It's a river.
That's great.
It's not a very big river.
No, it's not. And it looks shallow.
We are going to wade this river, senor?
Yeah, it looks shallow, not too wide. Got a fairly sandy bottom.
What about crocodiles?
No, not in this kind of water. Doc, you and I will each carry one of the women. Ambassador, you'll have to do the best you can.
If you, senores, do it, I will do it.
Good. Say, Ambassador, you think you should take so much quinine?
It is required for my health.
All right, Miss Santos, hop up in the arms.
No. Senor Packard will carry me.
Oh, you want Jack, huh? Okay, come on, Lola.
Sing. If Carmen wish it that way. See, I do.
You are making an obvious display of yourself, Carmen. That I will not forget.
All right, here we go. Up with you. All right,
up we go, Lola.
Senor Doc Long, but you are strong.
Well, I'll lead the way. You follow with Lola, Doc, and the ambassador.
Very good.
Is it getting much deeper?
I don't think it's gone much over our knees.
Nice, convenient river. Hey, keep close behind, Mr. Ambassador.
See, I will do. Strange. I am suddenly feeling dizzy from the sun.
Well, you can't stop now. Keep it coming. We'll give you a rest when we get on the other side. Hey, Jed.
What's the matter?
Senior Santa's got himself a catchy sun. Better get set for a stop when we get across.
All right. You shouldn't have a touch of sun. Can you see him?
Yes, over your shoulder.
Does he seem to be all right?
Oh, see. Why should I care for what happened to him when I'm in your arms?
Well, you're in my arms only because I'm your pack horse across this river.
Perhaps I can persuade you differently.
I doubt it. I've got the idea that Senor Ricardo Santos is a pretty decent man. Maybe he'll be president of his country.
So?
So I'd prefer him to have a wife worthy of him and his high office.
This high office you talk about, that is a cold, hard bed for a lonely woman.
Here we come up. There. Didn't even get the soles of your shoes wet.
Father! Where's my father? He's gone!
Hey, Jeff! Jack, Santos has disappeared.
Save him. Save my father.
Doc, what happened? Put Lola down. What happened?
Oh, he was right behind us. The next thing we knowed, he wasn't there.
He said it was dizzy.
Come on. If he fainted, he must be drifting down the river with the current.
Yeah. Ain't much current. He couldn't have drifted far. Hey, son, what you think's the chance of him having sunk to the bottom?
No, I don't think so.
Don't leave us here.
We won't get out of sight.
Jack. Hey, Jack, look out there in the middle of the river.
Hey, that's him. Come on.
He's a floating face down.
Cut in ahead of him.
If it was only just a little bit deeper, I could make better time swimming.
Get him, Doc. Get him.
You bet. You got him.
Good work. Here, pull him up out of the water and head for shore.
Yep. Oh, Jack. Jack, he's a dead duck.
Yeah. afraid so.
Is he all right? Is he all right?
Don't answer. Come on up on the sand. That's it. Lay him down.
Yep. There. Can you tell anything?
That's queer.
What happened? Is he all right?
Now, yeah, stand back. Now, stand back, will you?
He's dead. Yeah.
Jack's examining.
He's very dead.
Oh, no, no.
He drowned.
That's the queer part. He didn't drown. No water in his lungs at all.
What does that mean? It
means he was dead before he hit the water.
But how could they touch him, son, kill that quick?
It couldn't. Look at the pupils of his eyes. Your father died of poison. You, the French official I wired ahead to have join us on the train?
Oui. And you would like a full report, which I can file at police headquarters when we arrive at Timbuktu. Where are the two women?
In the adjoining compartment with my partner, Doc Long. Just as well if they don't hear my story to you.
Oui. What is this story?
There's no doubt in my mind that Carmen Santos poisoned her husband.
So?
After I examined the ambassador and saw that he died of poisoning, I removed all articles from his pockets to be held for the French police.
You are familiar with poisons?
Well, look, let me tell the story my way, do you mind?
Please, do so.
Yeah. I cleaned out all his pockets and put the articles in a little heap on my handkerchief. Suddenly, when Mrs. Santos thought I wasn't looking, she reached down and snatched a bottle from the pile. Doc saw her too and jumped for her. She tried to throw the bottle in the river, but he knocked her off balance and it fell in shallow water. When I recovered it, I found it to be the ambassador's bottle of quinine capsules, which he doctored himself with incessantly.
You have those capsules?
Yes. I examined them all carefully, and it's obvious that some of them are filled with deadly poison. Apparently put in a bottle by Carmen Santos, and she was trying to dispose of them.
Not a very clever woman.
Well, if she'd succeeded in throwing the bottle in the river, you might have had a different opinion.
Perhaps. You saw him take a quinine capsule shortly before his death.
Yeah, I even suggested he was overdoing his medication. Anyway, here are all the effects I took from her husband's pockets, still tied up in my handkerchief.
Uh-huh.
And Carmen Santos is now your prisoner. Also the daughter Lola. She'll make a good material witness if you can make her talk.
Neither woman will talk.
Not a word. And yet I know they don't like each other.
And what will you and Monsieur Long do now?
Well, get back to Hollywood and make our excuses to Senor Carlos, who paid us 5,000 berries to protect the ambassador.
Ambassador?
Yes, Ambassador Ricardo Santos. I thought you knew his name.
Hey, look. Look at this newspaper.
Newspaper? What's this? Ambassador Ricardo Santos arrived safely in Central America this morning with his wife and daughter.
Yes.
You know all the time I've been talking that the ambassador was safe and these people Doc and I have been carting around the country are imposters?
I knew only after the ambassador had arrived safely home. The whole world only knew it then.
You mean until this morning the public actually thought Ambassador Santos was lost in the jungle here with us?
It was a beautiful job of drawing the ambassador's political enemies off the trail.
They were so sure we had him with us, they even sabotaged our plane in Sokoto, Nigeria. But see here, if our family isn't Mr. and Mrs. Santos and daughter Lola, then who are they?
Read the next paragraph of the news story.
Huh? The three people thought to be lost in a plane crash in French West Africa are the ambassador's aide and his wife and daughter... The ambassador's aide? Each has been given $5,000 for impersonating a member of the ambassador's family to draw attention away from him. In case of the death of any or all three in line of duty, an added $50,000 indemnity had been guaranteed. Hey, there's your motive.
Sure.
Of course. If Carmen's husband didn't come through alive, she and Lola got an added $50,000. And Carmen certainly hated her husband, whether it was under the name of Santos or his right name, whatever it is.
You do not have much sympathy with Madame Santos.
Well, if she killed her husband...
I know. In France, we have much sympathy with an unhappy wife.
Well, what about a dead husband?
Most unfortunate, we...
Well, you do whatever you want with Carmen. She's your baby now. All Doc and I want is to get back to Hollywood. We like American girls. They kill you, but not dead.
You have just heard I Love Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Others in tonight's show included Peggy Weber, Alma Lawton, Gene Bates, Don Morrison, and Lou Krugman. The Ambassador Ricardo Santos Affair was written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. Organ music by Rex Curry. Your announcer, Dresser Dalstead.
Now it's time for our second feature. It's The Silent Men, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Souvenirs of War from 1951.
Douglas Fairbanks Jr. in The Silent Men. The National Broadcasting Company proudly presents Douglas Fairbanks' production of The Silent Men, transcribed stories of the undercover operations of the special agents of every branch of our federal government and their relentless fight against crime. Now here is Douglas Fairbanks.
In the United States of America, a man may legally purchase a gun to be kept in his home for the protection of himself, his family, and his rights. This is a constitutional privilege denied in most other nations of the world. However, as crime records attest, not all guns are purchased legally. Those who would use a gun for evil purposes cannot risk the scrutiny that goes with legal purchase. They buy illegal weapons, handled in the shadows outside the law. Guns bought to intimidate or kill rather than to protect. Against the traffic in illegal weapons, we have one defense. The Silent Men. Special agents of the federal government who track down the purveyors of illegal weapons. Tonight it is once again my privilege to play the role of one of these silent men, Special Agent Paul Wellman, in the file case entitled Souvenirs of War, in which only the names and places are fictional. It started in Detroit with a request from the local police. They were holding an 18-year-old boy, Billy Watkins, on a charge of murder. He'd killed a liquor store proprietor in a holdup. The federal government entered the case because of the weapon employed.
Better come into my private office, Mr. Wellman.
Thank you.
It's quieter in here. Sit down.
Thanks. At the gun on your desk?
Yeah.
German Luger. Nazi Army issue for officers. Your lab been over this?
Yeah, you can handle it.
How about the slug?
American ammunition, near as the lab can determine. Quite a few companies put out shells of almost identical caliber.
Yeah. Not perfect fits, but close enough to kill a man with.
Oh, we've had a couple of other foreign gun cases.
Like what?
These. Kid killed in a gang fight a few months ago. Lab thinks the murder weapon might have been a Mauser. And here's another. Negro shot down while he was waiting for a bus. Witnesses saw a couple of youngsters barrel by in a hot rod when the shot was fired. Slug indicates a weapon of Belgian manufacture, according to ballistics.
This kid, this Billy Watkins who killed the liquor store man, he tell you anything?
Tough one. Clammed up. You want to talk to him?
Is he here?
I had him brought in from the county jail this morning. I've got him in the bullpen.
You got a private office I can see him in? I'd like to get him out of the cell for a few minutes.
Sure. You go in here.
All right.
I'll get him and bring him in to you.
I ain't saying nothing. My lawyer told me not to talk to nobody.
Now, as far as the charge of murder against you is concerned, he may be right, Billy, but I'm not interested in the murder charge. That's for the local authorities. I want to know about the gun that was found on you. Where'd you get it, Billy?
I got nothing to say.
Okay. Well, maybe we can talk about something else, huh? Understand you come from a large family, eh?
Six.
You're the oldest, aren't you?
Yeah.
Guess you've made your family pretty happy.
I don't care whether they're happy or not. They'll get by.
Oh, sure, sure. Looking at you through bars isn't going to bother them at all. That's why you've refused to see your mother, isn't it?
Why don't you leave me alone?
That's the stuff. Be tough. You got a kid brother, 14 years old. Maybe he'll see what a big shot you are. Maybe he'll wind up sharing a cell with you for a few years later on.
I don't care what you say to me. I ain't going to tell you nothing.
Why should you? Don't spoil your kid brother's chances. Maybe if you keep quiet, somebody will put a gun in his hand someday and he can join you for good. You've been involved in a series of petty thefts, Billy, but never with a gun until this time. You threw away your whole life on that gun.
It's my life, ain't it? I ain't kicking about it.
You killed a man. You threw his life away. You threw away the lives of your mother and your father.
Oh, let me alone. I asked you to leave me alone.
Go ahead, Ball. It'll do you good. Want to see your mother?
She couldn't come. She couldn't take it.
You want to see her here in this office without bars between you?
Oh, they wouldn't let me. You know they wouldn't.
I could fix it. It might be the last time, Billy. The last chance for the rest of your life without the bars. What do you say, boy? All I want to know is where you got the gun.
I bought it.
From who?
I don't know. I never saw him. I don't know who he was.
You going to stick to that?
It's the truth. Oh, it's hard to explain.
Try. I'm listening.
I had to put $50 in a locker in the bus depot.
Go ahead.
Well, then I took the locker key and put it in an envelope. I mailed it.
Just like that? No address?
It went to a guy named Harold Callan at the Hotel Sussex.
You never saw him?
No.
Then what?
Well, the next day I got a letter. An envelope come in the mail, and it had a key in it.
Uh-huh.
For a locker in the railroad depot. Well, I went and opened it, and the gun was there in a package.
I see. Well, who told you to write to this Harold Callan in the beginning? A fortune teller?
No. It was...
Go ahead, Billy.
A guy named Burton.
Who's he?
Fats Burton. He used to run a pool room on Lake Street before the war. He was in the Army, and he said the Callan guy was in the Army, too. That's how come he had the gun. It was a war souvenir.
All right, Billy. The guard will take you back to yourself.
You said I could have a visitor.
You will have. As soon as I've checked your story. The story wasn't easy to check. Up to a point, we followed the lead Billy Watkins had given me, but it wound up against a stone wall. I went back to police headquarters.
Got a report for you, Wellman.
Good.
You won't think so. It is. Here's statements from every employee of the Sussex Hotel.
Isn't Harold Callan registered there anymore?
He never was registered there.
Well, that Watkins kid wasn't lying to me, Chief.
I didn't say he was.
Nobody at the hotel ever heard the name Callan before?
The night desk clerk might have. He's not sure.
How come?
Too many names to remember on a job like that. But when he was going over the register with my men, he said he thought a man had stopped in one night and asked if he was holding a letter in the name of Callan.
I see.
Clerk said he did have a letter. You know, sometimes mail comes to a hotel for people who are traveling. Haven't reached the place to check in.
Sure. It's a good gimmick.
As far as the clerk remembers, Callan said he'd planned to stay at the Sussex. That's why he'd had his mail sent there. But he had to go right back home because of urgent business.
Yeah, that's a good. Don't suppose he said where home was, did he?
If he did, the clerk doesn't remember it.
Looks like our only lead to Callan, if Callan is his name, will be through Fat Burton, ex-GI and pool room operator.
No good, Mr. Wellman.
Why not?
Burton's back in the Army.
Oh.
He re-enlisted and was assigned to duty in the Allied sector of Germany. Went over last week.
Oh, great.
I suppose you could work an angle and have him sent back to the States.
Well, what good would it do? He's committed no crime, none that we could prove.
There's the kid story.
Sure, the word of a murderer against a citizen without a record. A soldier on top of that. No, Burton's out. We can't hold him. I had loose threads and nothing to tie them to. I tried to find a man named Harold Callan who mightn't even exist. Billy Watkins had made his contact through Fat Burton in the pool room circuit. I tried the same circuit. For weeks, I clicked balls together, sticking to the places where young hoodlums seemed to gather. Finally, I hit something.
Hey, that was a pretty nice shot, mister.
Well, thanks.
Want to shoot a game?
Yeah, all right.
Well, what do you want to play? Rotation, Chicago, or the black ball?
You pick it.
Rotation. Hey, Pete, rack him up here, will you?
Okay.
Loser pays, okay?
Sure.
Now, how about a little action on the side?
Well, you've watched my game. I haven't seen yours.
Well, I don't think I'm as good as you are. Nickel a point shouldn't leave nobody bleeding. How about it?
All right, nickel a point.
Thanks, Pete.
All right.
Toss to see who breaks?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You call it
head.
Tails.
Okay. Bust them.
He played off his game deliberately, keeping his score just a few points behind mine. On the second game, we raised the stakes to a dime a point. On the third, a quarter. He was letting me win, building it up, but I wasn't interested in his game. He was wearing a button-up sweater, and when he leaned across the table to make difficult shots, there was a bulge that had a familiar look.
Ah, if I sink that when I beat you. Now you get it.
You're right. I get it. And that puts me 8 points up. $2.
Okay. Here. Now, how about a chance to get even? Buck a point.
No, thanks. I had enough.
What do you mean? I want a chance to get even.
I said I don't want to play anymore.
What, do you take me for a pigeon?
You're the one who suggested the betting. I've got a right to quit.
Oh, nice. Nice when you've been winning all the time. Suppose you lost. And maybe you couldn't even pay off. I'd like to see.
See what?
The color of your money.
Sure. Here, take a look. You satisfied?
Yeah. I thought maybe you were a shark. Must be $100 there.
A little more or less. Well, thanks for the game and the money.
Wait a minute. I'll walk out with you. Time on table 4, Pete. I'll pay you later.
Yes, sir.
You live around here?
No, I'm staying at a hotel downtown.
Well, I'm going that way. I'll give you a lift.
Got a car?
Yeah. Parked on the next street. Let's go through the alley here.
Sure.
All right, this way. It's kind of dark and narrow, but it's a shortcut.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, you!
Keep your hand from under that sweater, boy. If you don't, you're going to get hurt.
Listen, you let me alone. Let me go. Oh,
I will as soon as I get this. Kind of dangerous toy for a boy of your size.
You a cop?
Your questions can wait. Mine come first. You can answer them downtown. Now, get moving. But don't get smart. The gun was of Italian manufacture. Again, an army issue. The boy's name was Gene Shelby, and his story about getting the gun was the same as the story told by Billy Watkins. Money left in a locker, a key mailed, another key received. There was only one difference.
Come on, Gene. Who gave you instructions for buying the gun?
A girl.
What's her name?
Marie. That's all I know.
Where'd you meet her?
Well, she's a checkroom girl. It's a stockade. That's a dance hall.
Marie Kinsey?
Oh, I don't know her last name. I never asked her.
You know the girl, Chief?
I know her. Let's leave this boy alone for a moment. I'm sure he won't try to leave. Sit down.
What about this Marie Kinsey?
We've been interested in her from time to time.
What for?
Usual things. But she's also suspected of being a fence for stolen goods.
Well, that sounds good.
I thought so, too.
She could use that check room as a clearinghouse for anything those young hoodlums picked up. And in her business, she'd also know which ones would be interested in buying guns.
I can have her picked up.
Uh-huh. No good. She's in the clear just like Fats Burton was. We have no actual evidence.
She might get scared and talk if we brought her in.
But if she didn't, our trump cards are all tipped.
This kid said he mailed a locker key to a man named Harry Cassidy. But if we check the hotel, we're going to get the same story we got on the other one.
Sure, but...
You got an idea?
Possibly. Billy Watkins mailed a key to Harold Callan. Gene Shelby mailed a key to Harry Cassidy. Harold Callan, Harry Cassidy.
Both phony names.
But both with the same initials, H.C.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Check your alias sheets, Chief. 9 men out of 10, when they pick a phony name, use a name with their own initials. You say you've had a watch on the Kinsey girl at the Stockade Ballroom?
On and off.
Then your boys know something about her contacts. Dig into them and see if you can find a boyfriend or somebody with the initials H.C.
What about the kid?
He's yours, carrying a concealed weapon. You can book him.
Okay.
Oh, just a minute. Before we go out there again.
What?
You said Fats Burton re-enlisted in the Army.
That's right. Why would he go back in the Army? He could go to Europe as a civilian, buy up a batch of guns.
Yeah, but smuggling the guns into the States would be a big problem. As a soldier, Fats Burton could lick that problem. Soldiers coming home on rotation might get through with a lot of guns for a buddy.
Oh, we'll check it. Take a couple of hours. Want to wait around?
No, thanks. No. No, not tonight. I think I'll go dancing at the Stockade Ballroom. Marie Kinsey was easy to notice at the Stockade Ballroom. She was hard not to notice. A statuesque blonde in tight slacks. But when you got up close, she wasn't as young as she looked.
Come on, you guys. You can't wear overcoats on the floor. Check them. You too, Buster, with a hat.
Me?
Hi.
Hi.
Dutch Shedden.
Pardon me?
The coat. Take it off. I can't check it while you're wearing it.
No, I'm not staying. I'm just looking for somebody.
Who?
A kid named Gene Shelby. You know him?
What do you want to see him about?
You'll know.
Well, doesn't come here every night.
He's supposed to meet me here at 8 o'clock.
It's 8:30 now.
I know. I've been waiting outside and in the lobby. I've got to find him. It's important.
So grab a table by the bar and wait. If he's supposed to meet you, he'll be here.
Yeah. Isn't there any place else I could wait? I don't like all the people.
Why not?
Look, you've got a chair in there in the check room. Maybe if I came in and sat there...
Nobody's allowed behind the counter.
Not even for $10?
For $10, you can buy the place. Come on.
Well, this is a little better.
Come on, Wolves. Off with the camel's hair. Here. Here, don't forget the check. You really hate crowds, don't you?
For $10, I don't expect questions.
You turned your head away when those guys were checking that coat.
I turn my head a lot. I don't want to get a stiff neck.
You hot?
You ask a lot of questions, don't you? I'm going to get out of here. If that kid shows up, tell him thanks for nothing.
Wait a minute, relax. What's so important about seeing the Shelby kid?
What's it to you?
I know him pretty well, that's all.
I need something. He was going to help me to get it. He was going to introduce me to somebody.
Oh.
He didn't say. I'm like a chump I didn't ask. If I had, I wouldn't need him.
Wait a minute. Hop on, fellas. Listen, I think I know what you're in the market for.
I doubt it, baby.
Sort of, noisemaker? If you go in for that kind of a party?
You're pretty smart.
Yeah, no. Anybody'd know you were hot to look at you. Who cost you $100?
Shelby said 50.
$100. Yes or no?
Yes.
Let me make a call.
Now, wait a minute.
No call, no merchandise.
Go ahead. But I need this thing right away, tonight.
No good.
I need it, I tell you.
You can have it the day after tomorrow, no sooner. So make up your mind.
I got a big choice. Make your call.
Marie, I got a customer. All right. I got it. 100. Yeah. Bye. You got a pencil?
Here.
No, you write it. Harry Callen. Callen. Hotel Waltham.
Can I go over and see him tonight?
You don't go see him at all. Go to the depot, 5 blocks from here. Put the money in an envelope. And then stick it in one of them dime lockers and nail him the key.
It was the same setup. Whoever her partner was, neither of them would come out in the open to be linked with the guns they were selling. I left the stockade, switched taxis twice to make sure I wasn't followed, and headed for police headquarters. By the time I got there, I had a plan. And the chief had some information.
Looks like your queries about Fats Burton paid off, Mr. Wellman.
What'd you get on him?
Here it is. Walter Burton, drafted October 16th, 1943. Member of the draft board says that Burton offered him a bribe for deferment.
Sounds like a real patriot. Now, all of a sudden, he starts to miss the uniform and goes back to enlist.
Yeah, fishy, all right.
Get an army report on his assignment?
Yeah.
Being a volunteer, he requested the assignment he got. He's in the Quartermaster Corps, port of embarkation.
Great. Ha! Rotation troops at his fingertips, and half of them are lugging souvenirs. He must be picking up guns like jelly beans. What he can't get from them, he'll be buying from hungry civilians.
Not every soldier that comes through there lives in this city, you know.
They don't have to. Once they get to the States, they can mail the guns to somebody here. He's probably got dozens of them doing it on every incoming ship. They don't know his game. How about those initials you were checking, H.C.?
There we hit the jackpot. Marie Kinsey has a married sister. Her husband's name is Herb Collier. That time?
Like a dream. And I know how we can nail him.
How?
The man's going to sell me a gun. I'm going to put the money in a locker at the depot tonight and mail him the key. You'll pick up the letter at the Hotel Waltham sometime tomorrow.
And we stake it out?
Right. You put a man on the desk at the Waltham. Get your lab crew to set up a motion picture camera behind the desk, someplace out of sight.
Right.
I also want a camera set up in the depot to get a film on him when he opens the locker.
Well, that still isn't evidence. Just a man picking up two envelopes.
Yeah, it's a link. There's more to the chain. Don't forget, he has to plant the gun for me in another locker. Have him followed. And we'll get shots of him carrying the package the gun is in. We can blow them up for close-ups later on. Then we can get shots of him making the plant in a railroad locker.
Well, that's going to be a tough camera setup. There are 100 lockers there. How are we going to make sure our camera's trained on the right one?
By keeping 99 of them locked. We arranged the camera setup. Got shots of Herb Collier, alias Harry Kellen, making the money pickup. We tagged him all the way, but at the railroad depot, while we waited for him to turn up with a gun, we ran into trouble.
Now boarding at gate 3.
There's the signal from the boys on the ramp. Camera's all ready.
Now all we need is Collier to turn up.
Oh, it won't be long. My men reported by phone. Collier left his house 20 minutes ago and picked up a package at a warehouse between his home and here.
Good. Must be using the warehouse as storage. Probably got a man there working for him.
We've got the address. Hey, there he is now.
Where?
Coming down the stairs by the clock.
Oh.
Tweed topcoat.
Yeah. Well, we better not stand here. You drift that way and I'll... Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Woman going down the locker line there looking for a box.
We've only got one open. She'll close it. Better stop her.
No time. It'll look funny.
But we...
Give me a key. Give me a key to one of the boxes we locked.
Yeah. Take your choice. What are you going to do?
Open it for him. He doesn't know me. I'll pretend to take something out as he comes along.
Well, we've got to change our camera angle.
Get up to the ramp and tell your men. I'll give you time. Get going. The woman had placed the package in the one open locker as I came up to the box. Herb Collier wasn't 10 feet away from me. I found the box that matched the number of the key I held, and I pretended to be having trouble with the lock. Collier walked slowly through the aisles looking for a vacant locker. He passed behind me.
You, trying to get that box closed or open?
Trying to open it. Key sticks a little. You want the box?
Yeah.
Lock's kind of stiff, I guess. May need a little oil. I'll have it in a minute.
Half these things usually empty.
Yeah.
The box open on the whole roll.
Well, you can have this one in a second. There it is now. Help yourself.
I thought you had something in there. It's empty.
No. I just took this ring out and slipped it on my finger.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Well, it's clear for you now, anyhow. Just stick a dime in the slot, shove your package in, and lock it.
Yeah, thanks. I think maybe I'll keep the package with us.
You mean you don't want the locker?
I changed my mind.
Too bad, Collier, because I want to look at that package anyhow. Keep your hands off! He dug inside his coat for a gun he was carrying, one that was loaded and ready for use. I caught his arm just in time, and a shot ricocheted off the marble floor and tore into the metal locker. The men we had planted in all parts of the station poured towards us. By the time I wrestled him to the floor, they were on us, and Collier was handcuffed.
Let me go! Let go of you!
All right, Collier, just take it easy, and you won't get hurt.
Better have your boys keep those people away.
Pete, Monahan, calm them down and keep them off.
What kind of a frame-up is this?
It's no frame-up.
I say it is. I was passing through here. You opened the locker, and then you shoved a package in my hand and pulled a gun on me.
That's fast thinking and a good story.
Well, all right. Well, it's up to you to break it.
We can smash it wide open, Junior.
We've got motion picture shots of you carrying that package. And when we open it, maybe we'll find your prints on the gun that's inside.
That isn't all of the picture either, Collier.
Yeah.
We've got shots of you picking up a letter in the name of Harry Callan and taking money out of another locker.
I don't know what you're talking about. All you got on me is carrying a concealed weapon. I didn't pull it until you jumped me.
Don't be coy, Collier. There's a bigger rap than that. This is a federal case.
It's a state rap.
If it was, I wouldn't be here. The police aren't taking you, Collier. I'm taking you on a government charge. Illegal sale of weapons.
You can't prove it.
I can try. Chief, put out a pickup for Marie Kinsey.
What do you want Marie for?
I want to take her to a movie. Private one. Starring you.
She won't tell you nothing.
Might. Women don't like prisons, Collier. They don't like to age too quickly. We showed Marie the shots of Collier making the pickups, and she started to crack. We read her the law on the illegal sale of weapons, the law and the possible penalties. Just the fact. It was all she needed.
I've never touched the gun. I never went through my hand.
You're an accessory, Miss Kinsey.
I didn't know what he was selling.
That won't stand up. You knew what I was buying, and you made the same kind of a deal for a kid in a cell in there, Gene Shelby. Don't you realize that kid might have killed somebody?
He just wanted to use the gun to scare people.
Yeah, so did Billy Watkins, until he got in a tight spot and murdered the owner of a liquor store.
You can't blame me for that. I didn't know the Watkins kid.
No, but he got his gun through the same store, through Collier. Fats Burton told him how to buy it. And now Fats is in Europe sending more guns through, isn't he?
I don't know.
You may be able to make it easy on yourself, Marie. The government won't make any deals with you, but judges are inclined to look at all the evidence. Sometimes they're a little more friendly with people who tell the truth. All of it. She gave it all. Name, address, and the roundup started. More than 20 men in 20 key cities, men without conscience, putting murder merchandise in the hands of crazy kids. Kids in hot rods. Kids who thought that guns and whiskey and marijuana made them bigger than society. And when we got the sellers, we got the list of customers. Enough to make you sick. Enough to make the whole country sick.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wellman.
Hello, Chief.
Well, the last of the gang has been picked up in Miami.
Yeah. It's all over but the trials now.
What about Fats Burton?
Under military arrest in Europe. The CID boys got him.
Almost 7 weeks for you. You must be knocked out.
I am. Understand the Billy Watkins case went to the jury today.
It didn't take long. They're back. It's over. Murder in the second. You'll draw 20 to life.
An 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because of this, there'll be less of them from now on. This is Douglas Fairbanks again. The smashing of the illegal weapons ring closes another chapter in the distinguished chronicle of our silent men, the special agents of all branches of our federal government who daily risk their lives to protect the lives of all of us. Next week, we will tell you a story involving heartless dealers in human contraband in a file case entitled Visas for Sale, another venture undertaken for our protection by Silent Men.
The Silent Men is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's case was written by Joel Murtaugh and transcribed in Hollywood. Only the names and places were fictional. Featured in tonight's cast were Stan Waxman, Jerry Farber, Glenn Brennan, Gene Tatum, and Bill Yeagerman. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Douglas Fairbanks will shortly present Betty Davis, Gary Merrill, and Emlyn Williams in the motion picture Another Man's Poison. Listen again next week and every week to other exciting adventures involving the law enforcement adventures of the special agents of our federal government. For they are the silent men.
Now here's a holiday wish from the NBC Chimes.
Happy holiday, happy listening, NBC wishes you a season of good cheer, a merry, merry Christmas and a happier new year. Happy holiday.
Adventures of the Texas Rangers on NBC.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.